Conciliums with Pete and Charlie.
I'm Pete.
I'm Charlie.
The unity of knowledge.
That and a whole bunch of caffeine is what's going to get us through this.
There once was a thing. It happened last week.
Are we doing these in succession?
Yes.
We talked about cognition.
This is That's What You Think, Part 2.
Isn't that just the generic name for every show? It's like, you're a bonehead, neener, neener. I mean, we could call it that, too.
Let me attempt to refresh your memory.
Where attempt is the operative word here, ladies and gentlemen.
The last podcast episode, which was called That's What You Think. The description was, Pete and Charlie find a rabbit hole and start to tip into it.
Again, these are just generic names that can apply to every podcast.
I should just start doing that, like every single podcast be called That's What You Think, part something, and then Pete and Charlie find a rabbit hole.
Or Pete should be heavily medicated, part 7.
You came in to talk about human cognition.
Yeah.
You went, bum, 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 human cognition. Do you remember that?
No. Next up on Frontline.
Are you working with Professor Riedel, or do you just know he's doing it?
No. We actually had Mark Riedel, who we discussed last week.
Yeah. He was a guest on Black Box.
No. He was. Was he? No, we're trying to get him on Inside the Black Box. He was a guest in our humor genome class.
Right, okay. So you mentioned him, and you mentioned his attempts at what I called artificial intelligence, and you said was human cognition research. Yeah. And briefly, you implied that the humanities folks, the humanities people, had to start working on how to break down human behavior into these, what did you call them, like, Bayes, trunk, branch, Botticelli's.
Probably like branch and bound algorithms.
Yes, branch and bound.
Do decision tree
branch
kind of
and bound algorithms.
Yeah.
What is that? Is that, I don't understand.
What are we reviewing adult films now?
No, I'm just saying branch and bound sounds like, well, he was real branch
and bound.
Well, think about
it. If you think about the logic of the way you do things.
Guy was hung like a tree. Quadratic.
Like a quadratic equation.
It's a tree.
Yeah, so if you think about it, you sort of prune the tree, right? There's actually a pruning algorithm.
Did you know that that's my favorite Mitch Hedberg joke ever?
Let's hear it.
I think I've done it on the show before, but okay, so this is Mitch Hedberg. I am repeating a Mitch Hedberg joke. It's amazing. I'm a mumbler. I mumble, so sometimes people can't hear what I say, but it's this insignificant shit that I'm saying. So, you know, I'll say something, my friend will say, what? And I'll say it again, and my friend will say, what? And then he'll say, and then I'll be shouting, that tree is far away. Oh, my God, Pete. Do you not get it?
Can you explain it to me?
No. Which brings me to my point about
human
cognition.
Well, it's relevant to the cognition work we're doing.
When are you going to design a computer that could actually find that funny? And I know you didn't find it funny, but you're not a good judge of funny. You're just a professional comedian.
Yeah. I hate that.
So branch and bound.
You're just a weirdo, though.
I am.
Branch and bound. We are trying to figure that out.
What are trees? What is branch and bound? Why? And how would you turn thinking, human cognition, thinking into equations? Or what are branch and bound?
Well, so really what it is more, it's rules.
Say it again. Branch and bound.
Branch and bound. And that's just one algorithm. I don't believe Mark Riedel is actually working on that.
Branch like tree and bound like, you know, sexual deviance.
Yes.
Although bound is no longer really deviant.
Imagine a tree.
Just play. Like 50 Shades of Bullshit.
Imagine a tree.
Branch
that's
and
very
bound
far away,
equations.
Right? And you have a trunk, and then the trunk keeps splitting, and the branches keep splitting, and the little branches keep splitting. Right? So branches. Right?
My trunk does not split.
Gesundheit. imagine... So if you think, let's go back to the old days of artificial intelligence when they used to call them expert systems.
What are the old days of artificial intelligence?
Back when I was in graduate school in
what
the
year?
Late 80s.
I do not want to go back to the late 80s.
Nay, 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 nay.
I will go farther back.
Enter a realm of old people.
Or less
in the
back.
Late 80s. It's the Charlie Zone.
Mid-90s. Pre-Lewinsky 90s would be cool.
So... really, Monica Lewinsky is like the...
Pre-Lewinsky.
That's what I'm saying. But she is the reference by which you know, organize calendars.
It got just really like, what the hell is happening about the time that the Monica Lewinsky scandal broke?
I did not notice that.
And there was some good... Well, you weren't a kid.
Oh, okay.
Because in a lot of ways, it was just like, la, 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 in the early 90s.
Here's her dress. Ew. That's all I remember.
Okay, so back in the late 80s, Back in the late.
So I'm gonna take a real example. I think things are best explained by real examples. Two of my colleagues,
Peter was a young man.
Matthew Ralph and Jim Johnston,
learning to chop wood
in the artificial intelligence lab in chemical
engineering. The wilds of Illinois.
A veritable rail splitter.
Do you hear that? I don't know where that's coming from. Where's I think there's a bleed
Joseph
over from
Campanella
the radio.
Background narration thing.
I'd sure like a bite of your sandwich.
They wrote an expert system, and I believe it was using some level of branching.
I'm sorry, I haven't been listening. Who wrote?
These colleagues of mine in graduate school to design a stereo. So if you think about it, each branch can...
How many steps is it going to take to get from designing the stereo to artificial intelligence?
No, but you think about it...
Just to sort of Tarantino
this up a
little bit.
Do you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to replace the greasy guy in the leisure suit who's, hey, you want some hi-fi equipment? So that you could say, I want to buy a stereo. Well, what do you want? You want high power, low power. You want high fidelity, low fidelity. You want to spend a lot? You want to spend a little? Each one of those is a branch decision. And if you can guide someone through all those decisions, you can expertly design the appropriate stereo for that person.
So is this not a flow chart because it has to kind of come back to a center? Like,
look, I said it's a tree. It looks like a tree!
No.
And you simply prune the tree until you find the thing you want.
Oh.
That's what pruning means.
Oh.
It didn't mean something dirty.
So trees like okay, so a forking path, a garden of
yeah,
forking
exactly.
paths. But you're stripping them away.
Right. So the rules for the forking and how you go down it, that is the intelligence that is in the greasy guy with the leisure suit who sells you a stereo. Hopefully it'll be honest.
Is intelligence the right... Is that the perfectly correct,
you know,
or is
I
it something
know,
else?
Because we talk about human cognition.
The ability to process, right? Isn't that really, it's processing.
Yeah.
That's what it is in a computer, is processing to present options and then take in
but,
the
I mean,
choice,
what does human
right?
intelligence do? It makes complicated decisions, complicated evaluations. It writes stories. It produces narratives.
But wait, now, I'm not
It
being,
writes jokes.
I'm not trying
That's
to be pedantic
on.
Or... pedantic. I'm just
too late for that.
I'm trying to get a little bit deeper at that.
Okay.
Is the intelligence what does it, or is the intelligence some like you
so
know,
we're trying to figure out what intelligence is.
Because I've written short stories.
Mm-hmm.
I've literally done that. And there was at least some emotion to like why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wrote a short story. This is all true and I'm not trying to derail. Right. This is just true.
Okay.
I wrote a short story that really was just here's my side of
the rant
of a real thing that happened that I felt I was misrepresented in. Anyway, and I wrote the story, and it was a fictionalized version of the wrong. Right. And I did that. I was driven to write it because of a real life thing that was mostly just. It was just shame and anger, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way that I processed it was to attempt to replicate it. Is that intelligence? You know, like I don't know if the intelligence wrote it. If
Senator, on advice of counsel, I have been advised not to answer that question at this time. I don't know.
I hear where you're going, but you how would you grapple with that right now?
I don't think we're on the verge of understanding human emotion.
But
I
you
think,
use the phrase, human intelligence, it does that. It writes stories. It blah, blah, blah.
It does. But so, for example, I think we talked about this last week. Mark Rydell's research is applicable to training.
Yeah, and we talked a lot about training.
Say you're going to train. It would be nice to be able to generate lots of narratives that are typical scenarios to see if you know how to... apply the right first aid techniques, right? That would be good. A good way to test people on their ability to apply first aid techniques is gives them lots of scenarios. You have to write
but
those
But that's
scenarios.
Like a multiple choice test.
It is, but it's a little more complicated than that.
Or an S, a short
so,
answer
so
test.
To be honest, this is kind of what an airplane simulator does. It mixes scenarios together, but there's a person behind it going, okay, let's add flat tire and landing, and irate stewardess is about to hit you in the head with a cup of coffee.
Is there,
if that is a thing.
Is there a word or a concept that talks about the separation between something on the level of high fidelity, low fidelity, a high cost, low cost, size, whatever, or in the terms of the training, you know, left, right, clouds, avoid the thing, like all sort of quick choices. Is there, and then there's a separation to earlier in the podcast when I was making the joke by saying, you know, young Peter chopping wood in Illinois, which isn't, it isn't a choice of anything. Like there's no, why did I do that? There's no reason I did that except to be odd, to be funny. We talked about Walter Cronkite last.
But you can add stochastic elements in with a computer, meaning statistically random elements.
But is that what separates those equation-like choices from the thing that just felt like the right thing to do, that made you laugh, that kind of added a layer of experience?
Well, let's pull humor out of it, because humor is the single most complicated thing. That's the one we're struggling with the most. But...
okay, I've got one that's not humor. It's funny, but it's not humor. Okay. So I have a friend.
It's funny, but it's not humor.
It's not. It's funny, but
it's
not
stinks,
humor.
It stinks, but it's not crap.
It'll make you sick, but
how
it's not bad.
How much caffeine did you have this morning?
I had a good night last night.
Oh, that's right. The live broadcast of, not, the live taping of Lost in the Stacks at Eddie's Attic.
Even more so, it was a live show of Lost in the Stacks.
Were there throngs of people? Did someone throw undergarments on the stage?
No.
Okay.
Unless I dropped some. No, it was a good crowd. It was a good time.
I'm sorry I missed it, actually.
I'm sorry, too. We could have gotten you up
been
on stage
heckling
and
in the front.
Hit you with a guitar.
Okay, I would have gone with that.
So I have a friend that...
You have friends?
The joke, I mean, we call them friends.
Okay.
Right before they die, I say, "You're my friend."
Right,
they
a, go, guy you
please
met,
stop
a guy you met in a common parole officer's office.
When you say, "Hey, do you have a flash drive?" He says, "Well, let me explain how oil comes out of the ground." You know, the joke is always, you know, hey, right. If you ask him
you
a
need
question.
An incongruity is one of the two necessary but sufficient conditions.
If you ask him a question about how to get to the supermarket, he'll say, "Well, okay, a long time ago, the earth cooled." He always begins from a deep place of context, and he wants to lay out a lot of groundwork before you get to the answer.
Okay.
Right? So what is that? That, to me, is the stochastic, the non-humorous version of something that is not an immediate answer, something that is not immediately... an answer to an equation or a result. It's. I mean, I didn't say to him.
But it actually follows a heuristic rule of cognition.
Right. So a heuristic rule of cognition.
Right. Heuristic just means rule of thumb.
Well, what the hell are you using heuristic for instead of just rule of thumb?
Because it makes it sound like, well, Charlie and Peter, very educated.
Rule of thumb up your ass, right? Is that kind of, you want to avoid
kind of
that stuff?
Maybe you are, but I don't want to judge. So one of the rules of thumbs that we didn't discover by some computer hackers sitting there with a big mainframe going, we discovered via the improv folks. Specificity, when you take specificity and you mix it with the incongruity, the surprise, the violation of logic or expectation, that is humor. That's one of the requirements of humor. If you do specificity, it makes it funnier.
What is specificity
meaning
in this case?
Meaning you're extremely specific. So you say this guy lays out the groundwork, and it's detailed. If you leave the details out, it's not as funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
so that's a heuristic that people use in writing jokes.
What is the name for the thing that's happening in his head? When I say, wait, let me explain it for real. When I say, hey, how do I put a file into Audio Vault here at REC, the radio station, where we're recording right now. If I say, how do you put a file into Audio Vault? And he says, okay, well, REC's been around since 1968, right, as his start. Mm-hmm. And what he's going to say is, it was tape machines at first, and so Audio Vault is called Audio Vault because it's a replication of the vault of physical manifestation, something, so you have to think of it. Like, if that's where he's going. What is it that you call that process? I say to him, answer this simple equation, and he says, you require context. What is the name of that?
Ooh, but to be honest, that's actually what an expert system does.
Oh.
If your question is sufficiently simple and the machine or the person thinks you are coming at it from a neophyte perspective, they will say, let me begin with some perspective so they can understand it. If they know, if they recognize you as an expert, they will leave that out.
As a GUI user, right? As a
graphical user interface. Yeah, for those of you that thought he meant caramel oozing out of a chocolate.
As a Mac,
I could have picked something worse.
As a Mac user and a real sort of web browser and Word kind of user, right? Okay. I am never in a position where I am asking the computer a question that's simple or neophyte. I don't think.
Well, that is the trick. The trick is finding the right level. That's not easy to do.
But I don't engage systems the way you're describing them. You know what I mean? Like, it's hard for me to think it through. I've never popped the hood and looked at the code, right? I mean, that's not exactly true, but just let's go with it.
Okay.
Okay. I've drank Kernel coffee. Do you know about Kernel coffee?
Is this a trick question?
There was briefly a time.
I don't drink coffee, you know that.
There was briefly a time when compiling the Linux kernel or the Linux kernel, there was enough time to brew a pot of coffee and have a cup while you waited for it to compile. And
yes,
I was present.
I remember Berkeley Standard Unix when it...
I was present at the first time that one of the computing jocks that, you know, I was roommates with one and then the guys were around. When he said, I'll go make the coffee, and the dude's like, no, it's done. Like, when it sped up, you know.
Okay.
Anyway, I have drunk Kernel coffee.
Okay.
What was I talking about?
I have no idea.
I don't deal with giving equations to the computer or the system and having it say, whoa, you got to give me better results. Like, I just use apps. So help me understand what you mean when, oh, but systems do that, where if you ask a question sufficiently simple, they provide you context.
Well, so
because that sounds like crazy
pants.
We
can do voice recognition, and we can do something called natural language processing, which takes what is a sentence and breaks it down to what the computer can understand.
Okay, yeah, but it's real shitty at that.
Yeah, we're not that good at these things yet. So right now, the best example is you go to, you click on help and you search Kernel coffee, and it comes back with some things.
How would
and
you
then,
spell kernel in this case?
Ooh, computer kernel is with a K, is it not?
Very good.
So,
that knowledge, of course, is like 16
so now
to
what is called a knowledge base online does a little bit of simple branching in the fact that you put some things, it finds some things, and then it says other related things. That's one of the branches, right? So the more sophisticated things are used in some other fancier applications.
What are you referring to when you say things right now? You keep saying things. What are the things?
Applications. Applications that, you know, help.
Actual
help
programs
on,
that
online
would run.
Help
so the branching,
is an example
the
of an expert system. Absolutely.
Okay.
It's not a particularly good one, but it is much better than what we had back when the kernel took 20 minutes to compile.
Yeah. So step back.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think of your own thinking?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever metacognate about your thinking and look at it how...
Is metacognate a verb?
No.
Okay.
And look at it as
That's
if...
That's not going to stop us, ladies and gentlemen.
Look at it as if it were branch and bound equations. I mean, can you ever see yourself doing that?
I don't... So humans are so good at this that we don't normally think about it. We just go our merry way.
We're so bad at stuff, though. How can we be so good at this?
But, I mean, we make... As I'm driving to the dry cleaner, I make 100 decisions that I take for granted about changing lanes and signaling.
Hey,
I remember
was that
once,
a stand-up thing? How often do you actually go to the dry cleaner?
Occasionally, maybe once a month or so.
Okay. I feel like the dry cleaners is just sort of a stand. It's a comedian sort of.
And I just
shorthand.
Pulled that randomly.
Yeah.
I just pulled that randomly. And
if
the point is you can program
a
computer
the bank.
To pick an errand randomly. You can do that. So I remember once I was in California and I changed lanes, signaled, I was eating a hamburger and holding it with my elbow or something. And I rolled down my window at the same time, flicked the guy off who was in the wrong lane, who didn't use his signal, and turned left. I mean, it was an amazing sequence of physical and mental actions that we just take for granted. So when we try to program a computer to do these things, we find it's very challenging.
Yes.
I think Mark Rydell would agree.
I think that if you think about mm-hmm. what you're doing, if you attempt to plan it, mm-hmm. often you completely crash and burn.
And when you do think about it, I think Mark Rydell has the right attitude that right now we haven't achieved what the cognitive science folks like to call deep learning.
Do they say it like that?
No, but it sounds better when you say it that way. And
I'd like to think of a guy who, you know, with the PowerPoint up there saying, "This is an example of a deep learning." that deep learning. That's how that guy. That's how we should say deep learning from now on. Deep learning.
I mean, you sound like Rain Man.
Deep.
But in any case,
deep.
We haven't gotten to this point, so now some of the best systems deep. Will use an algorithm that we think is sort of fundamental. a fundamental representation of how people think. But we only understand that for a few cases. And then the rest will be a lot of linear algebra and simple rules. If they want this, then do this. You know, simple sort of calculational things. And then people even do hybrid systems where they try to make decisions by having something that's half human, half machine.
What?
A cyborg, if you will.
No.
No, and if you think about it, you already have that. You have you log on to your airline or your travel website, and it's making all sorts of decisions and recommending this, and why don't you try a bundle?
Yeah, but what part's human?
You'll save money.
What part is human?
The human part is, I give up, dial this. Do you know what the human part is? Would you like to chat? Would you like to chat?
Yeah, that's but that's part. Not part of the computer system. That's not part
but
of the
But there are
system.
Computer
that's
systems.
An option for the right. It's
there
like,
are computer systems where there is a human in the
this
background.
This sounds a little bit like.
Most of those are experimental. They're at universities. But there are ones where there's a human in the background monitoring.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a
but,
tricky one.
But to call
one.
That a human computer system is almost like, well, there's a human and there's a computer.
Yeah,
there,
we don't
you know?
Glue them together like a cyborg
Ugh.
From a dystopian future.
That would be quite
that would be
gooey.
Cool. That would be gooey. See, now that's funny because I guess that's the pun. It's two meanings of the word gooey.
I'll kill you.
What are we, 21 minutes in and the first death threat?
Well, okay.
So we're bad at this, and we've been working at it for decades, and we're still
yeah,
bad,
so,
but that doesn't mean we shouldn't continue to try.
Yeah. Are there any other fields that that we were this bad at for this long?
You like to pull that card. You like to say that if you can't plot it as an equation like psychology.
But wait.
You suck and
did
you might
I
as
not,
well give up.
Did I not just ask the question? I didn't suggest.
Are there other fields that we... Hmm. I don't know. I guess there are fields in psychology and sociology that we just don't understand.
Which might be the problem with why we don't understand how to compute it or equate it.
Yeah.
Right?
So to be honest, once you could write it down as equations
people,
and rules, you can program
so
it.
So we don't
computer.
Know how people think. That's kind of the.
We don't know how people think. We
and
have
so we
some
can't
ideas.
Replicate it because we don't know what
glimpse.
We're replicating.
We have some basic rules, like we, that one, specificity
and
is
by
funny.
Attempting to replicate, we're actually discovering things about how we think.
Yeah.
Because
we're
like,
metacognating.
Oh,
metacognating.
Is that right? Is that a word?
You used it as a verb before, so I'm going to now. Damn it.
Cogitate, probably. Metacogitate.
Okay. What am I supposed to be impressed because you're making up new words now? Yeah.
Where,
so
where do you take this? What is? I mean, so we've landed at kind of that was the valley.
Where
that was the
this?
Dead point. What does it matter that we're working on this field mm-hmm. when it is so difficult? And it seems like the real applications are kind of crappy stuff that that occasionally you just have to bail out of. Mm-hmm. And you like, I mean, I think. Everybody who's ever had a Comcast account, right, has had at one point or another had to, and if you're not in this area, Time Warner, you've had to talk to your cable company and gone to that online help thing, right. and it's clearly mm-hmm. a machine.
Right.
And it's just trying to get through the script. It's trying to latch on to right. the simple words.
Right.
And then... It says your problem is solved, and it's not, and then you have to call a person.
Right.
That's a common experience, I believe.
But your dial-up pharmacy number is an example of artificial intelligence. It's pretty stupid artificial intelligence, but it decides, do you want to refill one? Do you want a new one? Do you want to talk to the pharmacist?
But these are inelegant and sometimes ineffective solutions that people are still applying.
Right. Because
even
we're
though the
working
science
on the better
is bad.
One. So where else was the science bad? Let me think here. So psychology, sociology.
Aren't those the humanities?
No, I consider those sciences. You consider it the humanities.
I think of psychology as applied poetry.
I don't. I think psychologists are really trying to understand how people think. And The problem is there's a lot of noise in the signal because it's people. It's people are noisy. There it is. And I mean that in a statistical way. No, but if you can learn
noise is made of people.
Some things, like we're trying to figure out how to use humor to engage STEM students because we think humor is a good thing. People like it. But we realize that you can't just tell jokes and then teach science and engineering. It doesn't work.
Right,
that is a
also,
fundamental principle that we're trying to hash
you
out.
You also can't just lay out yes and no questions until you arrive at a solution.
Right.
So you got to mix them, certainly.
Right.
But humor is, if not completely unexplainable.
I think it's explainable.
Yeah, I'm saying if it's
we're
not,
still struggling
if it's
to
not
do
that,
it, though.
It is, yeah. It's like... It is that goose that lays the golden eggs, mm-hmm. right? There is, as soon as you start to make a code out of humor, you take away from it, it would seem.
It would, but we're not going to get there probably in my lifetime, so I'm not too worried.
And what's there is where a computer can tell a joke?
We actually have someone who works in the field of computational humor talking to our Humor Genome Project next week. So, yes.
There was an On the Media... podcast where
they can already write puns.
Yeah,
but that's
yeah.
a simple example.
They put Mike Kaplan up against a computer to tell jokes, and there, it was because Mike Kaplan's a very not exactly.
Is this Mike Kaplan MYQ? Yeah. Mike? Oh, he's a good comedian.
Very good comedian
from New York. Very good.
But he has.
Oh, he'll slaughter him.
He has kind of precisely constructed puns. Yeah. You know, like literal puns where it's not. It's not a word that you kind of slur it and it sounds like it, or you know, it's. Where the word has two meanings.
But that is what a pun is, right?
Yeah, but...
It's a homophone.
I'm saying it's not a, you know, beggars can't be choosers kind of things, you know.
Oh, okay. So he's his strict adherence to the...
The computer wrote a line, mm-hmm. I like my fingers like I like my notes. Sticky.
Okay.
Which has all of the rules mm-hmm. of that kind of joke.
Right.
Two disparate things that because they are sometimes, you know, sticky notes
right.
and then sticky
and
fingers.
And the inherent...
The oddity of putting them together.
Because you need two things. You need the incongruity, the different use, the different use of the two different meanings. But then the congruity is that they both use the same word.
Right.
So puns inherently have...
So
this.
You could just run, you could run an equation that pulls every version of that and only a few are going to be funny.
Yeah.
And it's instantaneous.
That's actually pretty good for a computer.
That we know it's not funny.
Yeah.
Right? But the system that's creating them can't even begin to evaluate them.
Right.
Doesn't that seem like a huge gulf?
Yeah.
Long pauses in this one, Pete. Why are you not?
Absolutely. That's what we're struggling with. But we have to understand those basic principles
struggling,
first.
But don't you, I mean, isn't this like trying to drink the ocean?
Right, but that doesn't mean you can't start doing it. You got to start somewhere.
Actually, technically, you can't start drinking the ocean. You die very quickly.
If everyone gave up just because something was difficult,
how is this suddenly? How is this suddenly me being like, oh, just give up?
You're a downer. You're a downer.
You can't fly to the moon by flapping your arms, right?
But look at all the ridiculous attempts at flight before we went to the moon. They were ridiculous.
Why are you turning me into the cranky old man here?
So much of science and engineering fails.
I want you to not
we're
respond
okay with
to
it.
This
why
in
aren't
terms
you?
Of...
Much of humanity's failed.
This is not about, like, you can't do it. It's about saying, is this not an enormous undertaking?
It is.
And how does it feel to chip away at it or to scratch at it? Yeah.
But I'm passionate about it because it's something I do in the evenings. Meaning stand-up comedy.
I've been passionate about a few things I do in the evenings, too.
See, now, you want to know why that's funny and the sticky fingers isn't?
I do.
Because the second joke was dirty. Now, if you said, I like my something like I like my notes, sticky, and you substituted something for fingers, it might be better.
I'm sorry, are we talking about cock? This is Consilience with Pete and Charlie, a podcast about the intersection of science and the humanities.
The unity of knowledge. I always like to say that part.
You can find us on Facebook, you can subscribe to us on iTunes, and you can always get in touch with me or Pete if you look on Twitter and other social media.
And can you also find us on Tumblr at peteandcharlie.tumblr.com.
Thank you.